discouragement. I'd like to get you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah was called of God to be a prophet during some particularly troubling times. He was known as the weeping prophet, and he struggled with a lot of things, and obviously discouragement was one of them. And before I get into the text this morning, I just want to try to do the best that I can to illustrate a story that I had read. Many of you are familiar with this story. As I've tried to encourage you folks to get a copy of The Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know how many of you have read it. I know a number of you have. And I would encourage you, if you don't have a copy of The Pilgrim's Progress, that you get one. It was written by John Bunyan back in the 16th century. It is actually written while he was in prison. I think he was in prison for 11 to 12 years. And his family was on the verge of starvation while he was in prison. He was in prison because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. It's probably, to the Bible, one of the second most read books of all time. And a portion of the story that I'm going to share with you this morning takes up with a fellow by the name of Christian. Christian had gotten saved, and he had entered through the wicket gate and was on his way to the celestial city. And many of you can already start to see, hey, we're on the way to the celestial city. Yes, indeed. If you are saved, you're on your way to the celestial city. It's a great and glorious city. But it's not just a straight and narrow path. It's not an easy path. And so along the way, Christian picks up a friend called Hopeful. And so they're heading along on their journey and everything's going well. Well, then the road ahead becomes very difficult. It's a rocky road. It's hard on their feet. They're tired and they're weary, and they want to find an easier path because the road ahead is very difficult. And so they come across Bypath Meadow. And so they cross over into the meadow. They cross over a stile, which is basically stairs that are designed to go over obstacles that separate the field. So he climbs over the stile. They climb over the stile, and they're on their way. And the path, the meadow is beautiful. It's easy on the feet, and the going's good. They meet up with a fellow by the name of Vain Confidence. And Vain Confidence sticks with them for a little while, and then he decides he's going to rush on ahead. Well, he got a little bit too far ahead of himself, and he ended up in the pit of destruction. And so Hopeful and Christian grow tired, and they decide to take a little rest. Well, they fell asleep in this field, this meadow, which belongs to the giant despair. And the giant despair gets a hold of them, takes them prisoner, and locks them in Doubting Castle, in the dungeon, and beats them. The wife of Giant Despair, Diffidence, tells the giant despair, why don't you suggest to them that they commit suicide? Make it easier on you. So he goes down to Christian and Hopeful, and he says, why don't you just off yourselves? Make it a lot easier than going through all this torture and all this hard time. And Christian, he's on the verge. He's beginning to consider doing just that. But Hopeful says, no, don't do that. That's not becoming of a Christian. Don't do that. Don't lose hope. So Christian and Hopeful, they take another beating, and the giant despair tries to talk them into it, and they refuse to do that. But then one night, as they lie awake there in that dark, dank dungeon, they pray. And they pray till the sun comes up. And Christian realizes that he has around his neck a key. It's called the Key of Promise. And he takes that key, I have the means out. And he goes to the doors of the dungeon and puts the key in. And what do you know? The doors open up. They open up the doors, and Christian and Hopeful peel on out of there. They get moving. The giant despair gets up, And he starts to run after him, but he has a fit. Something's troubling. Something's happening to his body. So he heads back. He goes back to sleep. And they keep on running. They cross over the stile, back onto the bumpy road, and head on their journey to the celestial city. Some of what you're going to hear today from the prophet Jeremiah mirrors what Christian and Hopeful endured at the hands of the giant despair and in Doubting Castle. Christians all too often get discouraged and they quit and they leave and they give up. We're not called to a life of perfect ease. It's a challenging life. It's a difficult life. It's going to present to us obstacles like Christian and Hopeful encountered on their way to the celestial city. The road is sometimes hard. There's obstacles that are in the way. There's potholes and boulders and things that we've got to climb over and things that we've got to go through, things that we have to endure. Those are ways that we can increase and build our faith and be challenged to draw closer to God. Yeah. That's the whole point of those things. We look at the prophet Jeremiah. He was in verse number 3, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pasher had put or brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pasher, but Magor-Missabib. In other words, Jeremiah here in this text was preaching the gospel. He was called of God. He was called to be a prophet. And he's preaching the word. And he got locked up in the stocks. And they mocked him and ridiculed him. And he's thinking in his head, what's going on here? Why is this happening? I'm a prophet of God. Why am I in these stocks? And why are these people picking on me and giving me a hard time? And some of you have been there in your walk with God. Some of you have given testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of you have been on the receiving end of those insults and those barbs from the world. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I thought the Lord would never leave me nor forsake me. I thought it was going to be an easy walk. Not always, my friends. Not always. Verse 4. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, here's Jeremiah, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Boy, I'll tell you what, Jeremiah right here is at the end of his rope. And I'll have more to say about that in a minute. Verse 8, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him. We shall take our revenge on him. He was not in a good spot right here, folks. He was not in a good spot right here. They wanted to see him fail. And then they were going to capitalize on his failures. Boy, we've seen that in our walk, haven't we? Every time we turn around, folks are looking at us and waiting to see us fail. Because it's one more reason, one more excuse for them to use not to become a Christian or not to serve the Lord. God's people can't fail. I'm going to show you some things in a minute. Let me read on here. Verse 12, but O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evil doers. We see a couple of things here with our friend Jeremiah. We see some similar things here to Christian and Hopeful as they were beaten in that doubting castle by the giant despair. The first thing I want you to notice about Jeremiah that he, something that he did that I think some Christians may be afraid to do. Verse number 7, he went to God with it. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, some folks would look at this and say, oh, well, now, wait a minute now. We shouldn't gripe and we shouldn't complain or murmur against God. And I agree. You shouldn't gripe and complain and murmur against God. But at the same time, if something's discouraging to you, if something's disheartening to you, if something is troubling to you, then you ought to go to God with it. Yeah. We're to cast all our care upon the Lord, for he careth for us, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. So why and what good is it to us if we hold it in and we try to deal with it ourselves? God wants to deal with our problems. God wants to take care of us. God wants to encourage us. And unless we go to him with those specific issues in our life, he can't effectively work with us. So here's Jeremiah. He's a prophet of God. Many promises were made to him. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Now I'm at the end of my rope here. I don't understand why all this is happening to me. We don't have all the details when we first get saved. God doesn't give us every little nook and cranny, every little nuance that's going to happen to us when we get saved, when we become a Christian. Christian didn't know that he was going to come across some hard roads. But fortunately for Christian, he had the key of promise around his neck to get him out of that situation. And as we're going to learn shortly, Jeremiah had the same things too. There are several folks in the Bible, and I'm sure that you can think of some on your own. Jonah complained. You read the story of the four chapters in Jonah. Jonah griped against God. What are you doing sending me over to Nineveh? These people aren't worthy to be saved. And Jonah, he was a stubborn one, boy. I'll tell you what. He went, he preached, they got saved. Everybody repented. There was revival, national revival in Nineveh. But at the end, he still griped against God. God raised up the gourd and tried to illustrate through that whole thing. And Jonah still, he just wasn't going to let go of that. He had some issues.
Yeah.
God didn't send a bolt of lightning and take him out. He just continued to work with him. Job. Job was another great example of somebody that cried unto God. I mean, Job lost his family, lost his health. I mean, he had a lot to complain about. And he went to God with it. Paul had struggles. He talked about the thorn in the flesh. He went to God how many times? Three times he went to God with that thorn in the flesh. God, see, Paul learned an important lesson through that he wouldn't have learned if he didn't go to God. What did he learn? My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul wouldn't have learned that lesson unless he went to God. Hey, look, Lord, I got this thorn. Can you help me out? My strength is sufficient for thee. Yeah, but Lord, I got this thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. Lord, I've got this thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. All right, Lord, you win. I mean, that's really how it goes with us, isn't it? I mean, we go to the Lord and we leave these things in his lap, but we don't really leave them in his lap. And Paul went there three times. I think what happened with Jeremiah, he looked back, and the secret to understanding this, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but I will reference it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Here's God talking to Jeremiah. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Boy, that was a big weight that was put on Jeremiah's shoulders. In chapter 15, verse 16, he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." This is Jeremiah talking. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So Jeremiah understood in the beginning, hey, I'm a prophet of God. He was like, wow, that's great. Thumbs up. I'm on my way. I'm going to break down the walls. I'm going to preach against the people. I got God with me. And he gets locked in the stocks. People mock and ridicule him. He says, oh, wait a minute now. Lord, you deceived me. You see how that happens? We get saved, and I try not to see people get saved under false pretenses. I will say this. God loves you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. His promises are true from the beginning to the end. He is always going to be with you, and when he comes again, he's going to receive you unto himself. I believe that. But I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, man, you're saved, everything's going to be great. You know, it's going to be a bed of roses and apple pies and all that stuff. No, it's hard. Being a Christian and living out the Christian life is hard. And I think Jeremiah, for the first time, came across the difficulty that is associated with being a prophet of God. And he's communicating to us, or God, through inspiration, had this written in here so that we can understand that, yeah, things are going to get hard. And we're going to have to deal with certain things as we go along in our way. You notice what Jeremiah says here in verse number 7. He said, "Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed." Now, that's a place that we all need to come. That's humility right there. Look. He's trying all this thing on my own strength, trying to get this thing right, trying to live right, trying to do what God wants me to do, and then you get discouraged and everything else, but at the end of the day, God prevails. Isn't it great? You're here today. You know why? Because God prevailed.
Yeah, that's right.
You read your Bible every day. You know why? Because God prevailed.
Yeah.
You know why you have victory over sin? God prevails. You know why you're still in the ministry, still serving, still telling people about the Lord, how to get saved, even though you've been let down time after time after time? It's not easy knocking on doors. Over 1,500 doors have been knocked on in the town of Auburn. And very few have been saved, and very few have come to this church as a result of the door-to-door ministry. But you know what? At the end of the day, God prevails, because this afternoon you're going on the door-knocking thing, and you're going to knock on some doors and tell some people about the Lord. Same thing with any other ministry. God prevails.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that and keep the commitment that God has laid upon our hearts to do the best we can to live for him, which leads me to my second point. Jeremiah stayed committed. Look at verse 9 with me, please. Verse number 9. "Then I said," here's Jeremiah's resolve. He basically, what he's saying here is, "I'm all done. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done. I don't like people picking on me. I don't like it when people call me a Jesus freak. I don't like it when people call me a Bible thumper. I don't like it when people in my family pick on me because of my relationship with the Lord or because I go to church. I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I'm done. I'm not going to speak in his name anymore. I'm sick of being called this, that, and the other thing." But notice that conjunction, but. As Jeremiah's at the end of his rope, said, "I'm quitting, I'm done, I'm all set here, but." That's a big word right there, but. "His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." I don't know how many of you folks have ever been where Jeremiah's been. I don't know how many of you folks have been at the end of your rope where you're just going to throw up your hands and quit. And when you're right there on that line, that word comes up in your heart and you say, "I just can't stop. I can't not talk about Jesus. I can't not go to church. I can't not serve in the ministry. I've got the word of God in my bones. It's burning as a fire. It needs to come out." That's the way it ought to be in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
We're saved. We've got the Son of God through the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us.
Amen.
My goodness, we're compelled to talk about Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
In spite of our issues or our lot in life. We want to tell people about the Lord. And that's the way he was. He said, look, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Look, he could not stop talking about the Lord. And Paul was the same way. 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 16, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's just something that is burning inside of your heart that compels you to go on for Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of discouragement you're suffering through. And many people are. You're compelled through that burning that's going on in your bosom to go on for Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's a physical issue. It doesn't matter if it's a financial issue. It doesn't matter if you're discouraged in the ministry. We see it in the pastoral end of things. We see it in the evangelistic end of things. You're like at the end of your rope. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's receiving the Bibles. Nobody wants to talk about Jesus. Nobody wants to go to the nursing home. Nobody wants to open the doors. Nobody's taking a Bible in front of City Hall. But I'm compelled to go to the world with the cross of Christ and the message of the gospel.
Amen.
Because it is here.
In
the heart, that burning in our heart that causes us to overcome the difficulty and challenges of the flesh.
Amen.
When we're going to cry out against God and speak against God, we're reminded of who we are in Christ. And we're reminded of the greatest power and presence who dwells inside each and every one of us. We need through the Holy Spirit to continue to be committed to the things that God has laid upon us. And the next thing we notice with Jeremiah is that he was watchful. Look at verse number 11. Here it is again. Now we notice verse number 9, but his word was in my heart. And we see here in verse number 11, how does it begin? But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. That word showing up again, but that conjunction showing up again. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always. Isn't that wonderful? Paul said in Romans 8, verse number 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to be watchful of the promises of God. Christian was in that dungeon. The giant despair was beating on them both and beating them and beating them and beating them. And then his wife Diffidence tells the giant, tell them to just kill themselves and get it over with. He comes down. Now the psychological aspect comes in and says, quit and quit and quit and quit and quit and quit. And Hopeful says, no, not yet, not yet. Pray, pray, pray. They pray and he realizes he has the thing that he needs to get out of there around his neck. The key of promise. We have the key of promise. And when we're in that cell of despair and discouragement, all we have to do is lay a hold of those promises and it'll open up the door.
Yeah.
And then just peel out of there as quickly as you can and be on your way. Amen?
Amen.
Jeremiah, like Pilgrim or Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he looked back on that promise of God in chapter 1 and was by his strong confidence in a strong God, he was delivered from all his fears and enabled to go on comfortably with his work. I'm not saying that everything's going to be easy. You know, when I entered into the ministry, now I've been saved since 1994, it's about a year and a half that I was called to preach. I didn't have any idea how all that was going to work out. I didn't know how God was going to do that, because at that time I didn't have all the, well, what I thought were the tools you needed to become a preacher. But God showed me through all of that, that he was the tool, actually, to enable me to become a preacher and eventually become a pastor here at Bible Way Baptist Church. And, you know, it's pastors struggle just like everyone else. their burdens are great, just like everyone else. And there are times when you wonder, it's like, why am I in the ministry? When people leave the church, when people call you and send you emails telling you how unhappy they are with you, and this, that, and the other thing, and you're like, am I wrong, Lord? Am I doing the right thing? You know, the devil gets in there, and he begins to introduce doubt, and you start to question things, and then you come back to the place and say, wait a minute, now, wait. God called me here, and these are the promises that he's made. All right, now we'll get back on track. Do your job, preacher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with everyone else. That's the same thing with everyone else. Do your job.
Yeah.
Go to the promises of God and anchor yourself to those things.
Yeah.
If it's just one promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, then hold on to it.
Yeah.
And cling to that thing. Hold it in your heart. If it'll get you through. If that one singular verse, whatever it is, if it'll get you through Romans 8, Matthew 28, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, whatever it is, any one of the Psalms, I mean, anchor yourself to that thing until you get through it.
Yeah.
And you come out on the other side, you're going to be doing what we're going to talk about next. Jeremiah was praiseful. Verse number 13, look what he does here. I mean, I like to sing. I sing in my car. Usually it's just Dan and I in the car. Somebody had given us, I think it was the evangelist, had given us this a cappella group, and there's some good hymns in there. I know Andrew gave me one as well. And we'll just be in the car and just sing.
Amen.
That's it. And sometimes I'm alone, which is what my wife prefers. She's not here right now. So so I'll be alone. I just sing. There's something about singing, though, that sets you free. There's just something about, hey, look, I'm not in tune or anything like that. I'm not, you know, soloist, but in my car alone I am. And nobody seems to be bothered by that, so I just sing unto the Lord. That's all right, right? It's good to do that. All right, the world sings, don't they?
Yeah.
They got their music they like to sing to, and they'll sing to it. We need to have a song in our hearts, too.
Amen.
And it needs to be for the Lord, so look what he does here. Sing unto the Lord. You're discouraged? All right, grab a hymn, sing it.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not very... Hey, can you sing Amazing Grace? Yeah, I can sing that. Then sing it. Right, Amazing Grace to save the wretch like me. I was once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Woo, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's good stuff. I mean, if that's all you know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus,
Amen.
Right? Holding how firm a foundation. I mean, these are things that inspire us. Sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. You know, I think praise does a couple of things for us. One, it helps us to acknowledge or recognize that there is somebody who does provide.
Amen.
We're not singing praises unto Pastor Tim or Sister Lucy. We're singing praises unto God. What are we praising him for? We're praising him for his goodness. You know, we're discouraged and we're at the end of our rope and we get to praising God. You know what we're doing? We're praising God for everything that he did for us in the past. Everything that we remember about the Lord, we're praising him for. You know what that's going to do? It's going to lead us up to praising him for what we're going through now.
Yeah.
And that becomes our greatest challenge. You know, Christian and hopeful on that bumpy road. Now, I guarantee you, all right, now when they first entered that bumpy road, it hurt their feet and their ankles getting all, and they're just, oh man, it's got to be an easier path. You know, that's the way it is with us, right? As Christians, it gets hard. Oh, there's got to be something easier to do. Right? So it's all rocky and their ankles are all chewed up from the rocks and everything else. So they go on the bypath meadow and the giant despair takes them down to castle, beats them for a little while. They run out of bypath meadow and they get over that stile. They get back on that bumpy road. You know what they did? Praise the Lord! Big difference, isn't it? See, God had to teach them that little lesson, so they took that little detour, and then they got back on that bumpy road and said, oh, it's a whole lot better going over this bumpy road than getting beaten by the giant despair. It happens. That's what God does to us. We have to get those lessons in our life so that we learn it. Sometimes the harder roads are the ones that God wants us on. Praise acknowledges that God has a plan for you. Now, we don't always understand the plan that he has. I grant that. God doesn't give us, you know, one, two, three. You know, it's most of the time it's right up, it's current. and then we kind of see the future, but we don't understand all the details that are involved in it. And those are the things that really get us when they confront us. It helps us, praise helps us to accept the present. And as I stated, when Christian got back on that road with Hopeful, it was a bumpy, rocky road. It was a tough road, but you know what? We're going to accept it because God's in control, right? That's what we need to remember. God is in control. And then it helps us to release the power of the Spirit, I believe, in our lives. Because we're not quenching, we're not holding back the Spirit. We're just basically like Paul, all right, I've got this burden, I've got this thorn, I've talked to you 3 times about it, and same answer came back, my grace is sufficient for thee, my grace is sufficient for thee, my grace is sufficient. Okay, Lord, you win. And then the Spirit of God can work because the flesh is not getting involved and interrupting what God's trying to show us. So we're the biggest hindrance to our own growth. Because we get in the way, we don't like what God's doing, we don't like the plan that he has for us, so we get in the way, so God, step aside, let us show you how it's done. So God says, okay, have at it. It's kind of like when we teach our kids lessons, you know, it's like, you know, all right, Dan, that's what you want to try and do, Dan, but I think a better way would be this way. No, I'm going to do it this way, and then go ahead and do it. He skins up his knees or hurts himself, and he's like, all right, Dad, you know what, I think I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Kids, parents aren't always wrong, all right? Sometimes kids are a lot like we are with our Heavenly Father, you know. I like to draw those comparisons. Kids say, oh, Mom and Dad, they're crazy. They're old-fashioned. They have no idea what I'm going through. I'm going to do things my way. And the parents say, no, you don't understand. I've been there. I was your age once. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And it's, no. I'm not going to listen to my father. I'm not going to listen to my mom. Nope. And then they go out, and they go ahead and do it on their own, and guess what? Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. And it comes out slow. Yeah. And Mom and Dad are on the other end of the phone. They're saying, go ahead and say it. You were right. Right? The air's kind of awkwardly silent here, but you know I'm right. And Mom and Dad, because they love their kids, will say, okay, what can we do to help you? You know, it's not a matter of, hey, I told you so. Should have listened to me. We want our kids to do well. Our Heavenly Father wants us to do well.
Yeah.
He wants us to do well. And you know what? In reality, we want to please our Father like Jesus wanted to please his Father when he was here. And I think Jeremiah came to that place in his life. He was called of God. God knew Jeremiah while he was in the bosom. He had a calling on his life. He calls him out and says, Jeremiah, this is what I'm calling you to. This is what I'm going to bless you with. This is the word I'm going to put in your heart. You're going to go out and do it. And Jeremiah probably, he started out, well, I got God on my side. Oh, man, this is great. Everything's going to go well. And then he got locked in the stocks and ridiculed and mocked. And Jeremiah's like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm confused here. I'm going to be a defense city. Nobody's going to be able to touch me. I'm in the stocks. And people are laughing at me and they're picking on me. I don't get this. And I think that's God's way of just taking them through that process to build up in their lives humility and dependence on God.
Yeah.
And that's something that we forget to do. Because we're human. And we want to do things under our own might. But God wants us to depend on him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, as I bring this to a close, God gave Jeremiah a promise. We have a book full of promises. We have the Word of God. It's true from Genesis to Revelation. And throughout are precious promises that we can use in our own lives to unlock those doors in Doubting Castle and flee that giant of despair. Get back on the road to the celestial city and trust in the strength and Spirit of God to carry us through each and every one of those difficult times. Amen?
Amen.
All right, please stand.